The people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." After all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Not so long ago, when people did photography, they actually had to use film and have the film developed, and you had to wait to get it back from the mail or from the store, and it was much more expensive. Today we have our digital cameras, and we have like instant gratification. You can put them right up on the computer or post them on the web right from your phone. Well, my dad was a bit of a photographer, and when he was much younger than he is now, and my dad actually has quite the collection of pictures. In one of his cabinets, there are probably more than 1,000 of those circle things where all the slides are in, and then you put it in the machine, and you had to project it on a wall because it didn't connect to computers. And you had to turn off all the lights and have a little slideshow. Well, he had like 1,000 of them, maybe 2,000 in the cabinet. And earlier this year, I decided I was going to scan each one of those slides in to the computer and make a video and have a digital record of each of them for the family. And it took me forever to do all of those. I actually had to buy a special machine just to do it. But one of the things that struck me is that I forgot what we used to look like back when I was a kid. I was a middle child, and I was always very mellow, you know, whatever, I'll do whatever everybody else wants to do. And my mom used to pick out my clothes, you know, whatever, I'll wear whatever you want me to wear. And I'm looking at my clothes, and I'm thinking, you dress me in that? I look ridiculous. What color are those pants, you know? And it's quite comical. And the further I go back, the crazier it gets. And I actually saw some of my baptism pictures, and I'm in a big fluffy white dress. And I look like a girl. So I always wonder, well, why do they put boys in these big fluffy white dresses? Well, I wanted to talk with you today about baptism, because today is the feast of the baptism of our Lord. And we're talking about baptism. We are doing baptisms in the church because of Jesus, because of his own baptism. You know, we look at the baptism as the forgiveness of our sins and the entry into the church. The early church referred to the baptism as the doorway to the spiritual life. And so we see baptism as opening the doors to all the other sacraments. We can't have the other sacraments until we've been baptized first. It's the entryway into the spiritual life. And baptism is a way of us being grafted onto the true vine. We are being grafted onto Jesus. And so the baptism with the forgiveness of sins, we think, you know, why was Jesus baptized? He had no sin. And the early church's answer to this was Jesus was baptized to make the waters of baptism holy, so that we are grafted onto him. And so it's the water, the same water that he touched, the water that touches us in baptism. And we become mystically his sons and daughters of the Father and the Son through the Holy Spirit, which is the relationship of Father and Son. And so in the church, we often have a lot of meaning in the very building and design of our churches. In the early church, the baptism took place outside of the church. They would have a separate building that was the baptistry, and people would be baptized there and then brought into the church. A real sign of showing that you're not in the church yet until you've been baptized. And then many churches, even today, still have their baptistries in the very entrance. When you come through the front doors of the church, there will be a baptistry there, kind of symbolizing that baptism is the entry point into the church. We still have in every Catholic church the holy water fonts as you enter the church to remind you of your baptism. And in some way, it's a little renewal of your baptism when you bless yourself with that holy water. Our baptistry here in this church is very unique. It's right over here in the side of the church. And sometimes people are wondering, you know, why is our baptistry there and not in the entryway of the church? Our church is also a cruciform church. It's in the shape of a cross. So if you look at the ceiling, that straight line, and then here and here, we have the cruciform church. So if you look at our church from the airplane as you fly over Sky Harbor and look down at St. Thomas, you'll see a cross, a great big cross. And that was the way that the Catholic Church designed church for many, many, many years. Beautiful ceiling that we have covered with stars reminds us that we are under that promise of Abraham, our father in faith. When God promised Abraham, I'll make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the heaven. And so we are under that promise, that covenant. And so if we look at this church as a sign of the cross, if Jesus were to lay down on it, and we think about the Roman who pierced the side of Christ, and the water and blood flowed out, it's right there in the corner where the baptistry is located. The early church fathers saw that in the piercing of Christ's side and the water and blood that flowed out, they saw that as the birth of the church. Because whenever a human being is born into this world, there is water and blood. I've never seen this for myself. People have told me about it. But I'm pretty sure that when somebody is born, there's both water and blood present. And so when Jesus' side was open, the early church fathers saw that as the birth of the church. Now, Jesus is the groom and the church is his bride. Some iconography actually shows a woman like springing out of Christ's side as the Roman is piercing his side. When you think about that, Adam and Eve, when God took Adam and made a wife for him, he chose the rib from the side. And so they saw very symbolically this birth of the church, which is the bride of Christ, which is why I was wearing that big fluffy dress, to symbolize that I was a bride of Christ now, a member of the church. And so all of us, as members of the church, are the bride of Christ. And so this is why we wear those fluffy baptismal gowns. But I didn't know that when I was a kid. I always wondered. So right here in the side also, the blood, we are sustained in the church, being fed the blood of Christ. And so we enter through the baptism, and we're sustained by the Eucharist. And so very symbolically, our baptistry is located right here in the arms of the cross. When you think of baptism, baptism is both gift and grace. It's a gift because we bring nothing to the table. We don't pay for it. We don't earn it. We don't do some great thing to come and be baptized. Baptized is a gift because we bring nothing to the table. Baptism is a grace because even the guilty receive the gift. And so as we come to the baptism, it is a gift from God that we do not deserve or earn, and it is a grace because even when we are guilty, God gives us this gift. It is something that leaves an indelible mark on our soul and is a constant source of grace in our life. And the church teaches us that we must always unwrap the gift of baptism. You know, sometimes baptism is forgotten, and people will forget the fact that they are baptized, that they've been grafted onto Christ. And so how do we open that gift of baptism is through the life of spiritual life within the church. And so we are called to actively unwrap and open this gift. I don't know if you still have your baptism candle. I still have mine. It's broken, but it's still being held together by the wick in the middle. And I have it on my shelf in my office. And so when I'm having a bad day or things are very stressful, I remember the baptism, and I can pray and call upon God's grace to give me strength in whatever I'm dealing with. And I would invite you to do the same. You who have been baptized have been given a beautiful gift by God. You've been grafted onto Christ, and you've received that grace. And it's that grace that we can call upon throughout our life, not just at the moment of our baptism. Looking at all the beautiful things of the church and how everything is symbolic, I find it amazing how even the seasons coincide with the church's celebrations. For example, when we celebrate the baptism of the Lord, I recently have found out that the place where Jesus was baptized was only 5 miles away from the Dead Sea along the Jordan River. So the Jordan River feeds into the Dead Sea. Anybody ever been there? Maybe a couple of you? So it's about 5 miles, the traditional site is about 5 miles where they believe Jesus was baptized. And that Dead Sea is known as the Dead Sea Depression. And like if you are making a new garden and you step in the soil, it leaves a deep depression. And the Dead Sea is a depression, and it happens to be below sea level. And so Phoenix, I believe we're above sea level, but the Dead Sea is way below sea level, happens to be the lowest point on earth. Can you believe that? The Dead Sea, you can go look it up, is the lowest point on earth. And 5 miles from there, along the river that feeds the Dead Sea, is where Jesus was baptized. I think it's very symbolic. I think God was telling us, I'm going to come to the lowest dregs of humanity, and I'm going to raise it up. I'm going to give it new dignity. And that's what happens when we're baptized. All the sinfulness of humanity, all of that is washed away, and God raises us up and gives us new life, new dignity. And I find it just rich to see that even in creation, all that is symbolized. And who could have thought of this, right? And then even the birth of Jesus, when we celebrate the birth of Jesus on December the 25th, that happens to be the darkest day of the year. Did you know that? It's known as the winter solstice. And from the moment of December 25th onward, the days will start to get a little bit brighter and brighter. And so it's like Jesus or God saying, I'm going to come into the darkest point of your life, the darkest point of humanity, and I'm going to bring hope. I'm going to bring light to it. I think this was greater felt in years gone by. Today we don't have to worry about heating our homes or feeding ourselves, but you know, way back in the day, they didn't have a lot of food in the winter, and it was very dark. It was difficult maybe to heat your house. You had to do a lot of wood cutting and things like that. And so it would be, I think, much more felt, this light getting brighter, the days getting warmer. But I think it's beautifully symbolic that Jesus' birth, the darkest day of the year, and from that day forward, it gets brighter and brighter. And the fact that Jesus was born in the lowest point on earth. And so God wants to renew us. He wants to say, no matter how bad your sins are, this baptism is a gift. It's given even to the guilty. It's grace that God wants to renew us and lift us up. Amen. Together, let us now stand as we now profess our faith.